Hi, my name is Stefan Heinitzi, and I work on QEMU and Linux, and today I want to talk about vHost UserBlock, a fast user space block I/O interface. So what is vHost UserBlock? vHost UserBlock allows an application to connect to a software-defined storage system that is running on the same node. So in software-defined storage, or in storage in general, there are three popular storage models. There's block storage, file storage, and object storage. And vHost UserBlock is about block storage. So for the rest of this presentation, we're going to be talking about block storage. And block storage interfaces, they have a common set of functionality. First of all, there's the core I/O, reads, writes, and flushes. These are the common commands that are used in order to store and retrieve data from the block device. Then there's data management commands. These are used for mapping and allocation of blocks. Discard and write zeros are examples of these kinds of commands. There are also auxiliary commands like getting the capacity of the device. And then finally, there can be extensions to the model like zone storage that go beyond the traditional block device model. vHost UserBlock supports all of these things, and it's at a similar level of abstraction to NVMe or to SCSI. So let's start by looking at how vHost UserBlock is a little bit different from the things like NVMe or SCSI, things that are network protocols or hardware storage interfaces. vHost UserBlock is a software user space interface. Let's begin by imagining we have a software-defined storage system that is running in user space, and it wants to expose storage to applications. So if we're using the kernel storage stack, what will happen is we'll need some way to connect our software-defined storage to the kernel and present a block device. Ways of doing that might be NVMe over TCP, or as an iSCSI LUN, or maybe as an NBD server, and so on. And so that's how a software-defined storage system might expose its storage to the kernel. And when our application opens a block device, it gets a file descriptor, and then it can read or write using system calls from that file descriptor. And what happens is execution goes into the kernel's file system and block layers. And they will then talk to the software-defined storage system. Now, that can be somewhat convoluted because if we've attached, say, using NVMe over TCP, the network stack might be involved and so on. And at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is communicate between our application and the software-defined storage processes that are both on the same node. They're both running on the same operating system. User space storage interfaces, they leave out this kernel storage stack, and instead they allow the application to talk directly to the software-defined storage process. Now, there are a number of pros and cons to using a user space interface, and I'll go through them here. So I've already kind of alluded to the fact that if you have a user space interface and you don't go through the kernel storage stack, then you can bypass some of that long path that we discussed, for example, going down into the kernel, coming back out using something like NBD or iSCSI in order to connect to another process on the same node. There must be a faster way of doing that, right? So with vHost UserBlock, it turns out we can actually get rid of system calls entirely from the data path. So reads and writes and so on from the device don't require any system calls at all. And we'll have a look at how that's possible later on in this talk. But speed is one of the reasons why a pure user space interface for block I/O is an interesting thing. Another reason is for security. Typically, in order to connect a block device to the kernel, you need to have privileges, because it can be a security risk to connect untrusted storage to your kernel. And the reason for that is that there's a bunch of code in the storage stack that's going to run, and it's going to process and be exposed to this untrusted data. If you think about a file system and all its metadata, that can be complex. And so there's a security risk associated with that, and therefore privileges are required to create block devices. An ordinary unprivileged process cannot attach and mount a block device. So in a scenario where you do have an untrusted block device and you would like to remove the attack surface there, then using a user space interface allows you to avoid that. Also, if you don't have permissions, if you simply don't have permissions, then you won't be able to create a kernel block device. So then a user space interface is beneficial as well. Now, those were the pros. Of course, there are drawbacks to having a user space interface. First of all, it's complex. Compared to simply opening a file and reading and writing from the file descriptor, you're going to have to do a lot more because all the logic for actually doing I/O and communicating is now the responsibility of the application and not the kernel. So there's that. In addition, if you think about existing programs that you might want to use to access your storage, they won't have support for any new interface that is user space only. They are probably using the POSIX system calls and read and write and so on, and that's what they expect. So you'll have to port those applications in order to access your software-defined storage system if you rely on a user space interface. Another disadvantage is that if you have a user space interface, then the kernel storage stack isn't involved. So if you decide you need a feature from the kernel storage stack, whatever that may be, or if you have a legacy application that you cannot port and that needs to talk to a kernel block device, then again you have a problem because your software-defined storage system is isolated, its block devices aren't connected to the kernel. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at both these pros and cons, and we're going to also see how with vhost user block we can actually overcome these cons. So let's start a little bit looking at some of the performance aspects, how this can be fast. I said no system calls are required, so how does that even work if the software-defined storage system and the application need to communicate? How can they communicate without system calls? All right, so one of the important concepts in I/O is how to wait for the completion of I/O. When you submit an I/O request, maybe you have no more work for your process to do. Maybe the CPU is essentially idle until that I/O request completes, and at that point, you'll be able to do more work. The normal thing to do in that case is to then deschedule your application and let other threads, other tasks on the system run. And maybe if there are no other tasks, then the kernel will just put the CPU into power saving mode. It'll put it into some kind of low power state, and it will awake once the completion interrupt comes in. And you can see that at the top of this slide, at the top diagram, you can see that there's the green part where we submit the I/O, and at that point we run out of things to do because we're going to wait for completion. So then there's this gray part where other tasks are running, power saving is taking place, and during that time, the first portion is spent with the I/O actually in flight. That's where we're legitimately waiting for the I/O request to complete so that we can proceed. But then what happens is that the I/O request completes and we need to somehow get back to our descheduled process. Now, depending on what other tasks are running, their priorities, the scheduler, and so on, our task might not get woken up immediately. Or maybe if the CPU